happening locally. The news.
And it is time for this morning's look, some of those things relevant to us here in the Republic of Panama. The Ministry of Health reported on Monday, the 20th of June, that 826 new infections were registered in the last 24 hours. This is 317 cases less than yesterday. One death was reported and one from a previous date is updated, which raises the accumulated number of deaths to 8,325, while in lethality that remains at 0.9%. This Monday, 4,431 tests were applied and returned a positivity of 18.6%. Active cases, they total now 15,328 throughout the country. In home isolation, there are 15,101 people and 227 are hospitalised. Those in isolation are divided into 15,082 at home and 19 in the so-called hospital hotels. 194 patients are hospitalised or in the wards, and 33 patients are in the intensive care units. In Panama, the application of an anti-COVID dose in children from 6 months of age is being evaluated, the Minister of Health, Luis Francisco Sucre, reported on Monday. This after the United States Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the CDC, authorized Pfizer and Moderna anti-COVID vaccines for children between 6 months and 5 years last Saturday. The United States Food and Drug Administration, the FDA, had already authorized its emergency use for this age group. The instructions of President Laurentino Cortizo is that work is already being done on the acquisition of these doses. In fact, a team is already making contact with Pfizer in the United States so that Panama can have quick access to the vaccines, Sucre said. Sucre added that the issue will be addressed in a meeting with the vaccine table and later by the National Vaccine Operations Center to then send the recommendations to President Cortizo and receive approval. Sucre pointed out that in a period of 2 weeks, the arrival of the first shipment of these pediatric doses to the country could be finalized. On the other hand, the head of the health portfolio added that the elimination of the mandatory use of the mask in closed spaces is still under analysis. The President of the Republic, Laurentino Cortizo, will be evaluated in the United States in the coming weeks. This was after he was diagnosed with myelodysplastic syndrome, the presidency reported on Monday. According to a statement from the presidency of the Republic, the last blood test carried out by the president at the end of May showed that everything was fine, with the exception of a decrease in hemoglobin and white blood cell count. It was reported that with these results, the president's family doctor, Hector Sanchez, recommended proceeding to consult doctors Jose Luis Francesi and Ricardo Diaz, who deemed it appropriate to perform a bone marrow biopsy. These samples were sent to a specialized laboratory in the United States. Likewise, it is specified that last Thursday, the 16th of June, President Cortizo and his wife, Yasmin Calonda Cortizo, met with doctors Francesi and Diaz, who reported that the diagnosis corresponded to intermediate risk myelodysplastic syndrome. Likewise, it is detailed that it was also recommended that President Cortizo undergo a second specialized evaluation with molecular biology tests in the United States city of Houston. This would be after the 1st of July, when President Cortizo renders his report to the nation in the National Assembly. The Public Ministry reported that the hearing of 27 people related to the Blue Apple case scheduled for this Monday was suspended and should take place now on the 16th of August. It was reported that judicial assistance was awaiting notification of two defendants who are outside of the country. In this case, Luis Enrique Martinelli Linares and Ricardo Alberto Martinelli Linares, who are serving a 36-month prison sentence in the United States related to the Odebrecht case. When the information did not arrive, the judge, Baloisa Martinez, decided to suspend the hearing, and it will be at 10 a.m. on the 16th of August, as was already established. We were notified that it was suspended to the extent that there was a lack of international notification assistance regarding some people who were outside the country, said the Superior Anti-Corruption Prosecutor, Edwin Juarez. The Public Ministry reiterated that it will request the conviction of these people for the alleged commission of the crime of corruption of public officials, illicit association, and money laundering. The Blue Apple case is related to a basket company that served to set up a corruption scheme that involved state contractors, lawyers, bankers and former ministers, and it used the banking system to launder bribe money. The First Superior Court of Justice granted an amparo of guarantees to Daniel Ochidias, investigated for alleged money laundering in the new business case, and ordered the Third Criminal Court to annul all proceedings in the first preliminary hearing of this case, which was held on the 27th of January of this year. At that hearing, Judge Baloisa Martinez decreed the procedural break with respect to Ochi and decided that his case would be taken separately from the rest of the defendants. But the first court, in a ruling under the presentation of Judge Melina Elisa Robinson, states that the procedural departure could not be applied. She adds that Martinez's decision contradicts Article 17 and 32 of the Constitution. According to the ruling, the procedural break can only be ordered by the judge when alternative means of conflict resolution are reached, when the person under investigation is mentally ill or his whereabouts are unknown. It emphasizes that the rupture of the procedural unit constitutes an exceptional situation, which is only appropriate in the face of singular situations within the development of the process. Thus, Robinson ordered Martinez to make up the hearing. However, the magistrates of the first court recognized that Martinez sought to protect the fundamental guarantees of the rest of the defendants and not delay the process. The preliminary hearing for this case of alleged money laundering began on Thursday, the 27th of January of this year, at the headquarters of the Latin American Parliament, with the presentation of the allegations by the public ministry. A total of 16 private technical defenders and 14 public defenders were participating in it. The first phase of Line 3 of the Panama Metro will have 12 stations and not 14 as initially designed. The cost of building a tunnel for the monorail to cross the Panama Canal Channel, leaving aside the idea of using the fourth bridge, increased the costs of the project awarded by $2,844 million to the Korean consortium HPH joint venture. In the Panama Metro, they reported that at this stage, the construction of 12 stations has been considered, leaving the forecast to facilitate the construction of two stations in the future to complement the capabilities of the Vista Alegre and Arihan stations. The design and construction of the tunnel that Line 3 of the Panama Metro will use to cross the Panama Canal could reach $426 million, exceeding the preliminary estimate of $360 million made by the railway company. The original concept contemplated that the monorail, which will travel a distance of 24.6 kilometres, would use the central lanes of the fourth bridge to cross the Panama Canal, but the administration of President Laurentino Cortizo put the construction of the bridge on hold by assuring that it did not have a viable financing scheme. The monorail project, now completely independent of the fourth bridge, must include the cost of the 6-kilometre-long tunnel that will link the stations of Albrook in the capital city and Panama Pacifico in the western sector. This component of the work would not exceed 15%, $426 million of the cost of the work being built by the Korean consortium HPH joint venture for $2,844 million, reported the Metro. Initially, it had been decided to tender the design and construction of the tunnel separately, but the plans have changed over time. The equipment of the operating rooms of the Cardiovascular and Thoracic Institute in the City of Health of the Social Security Fund is advancing at a good pace. Two angiographs have already been installed of the six that were planned to have in this facility. This was reported by Alex Gonzalez, National Executive Director of the Health Services and Benefits of the CSS, who explained that these teams are important since they allow, through an examination, to determine if the patient has an obstruction or an injury in the vascular part of the heart. In addition, it is a team that provides images of the vascular system in real time, which allows therapeutic procedures to correct any situation that the patient presents during surgery. Gonzalez stressed that six angiographs will be installed, four that will be separate and two that will be in the hybrid operating rooms. But with hybrid operating theatres, we have the advantage that if the patient has an injury, it can be operated on without having to be transferred to utilise the equipment. The authorities plan that the third angiographer would arrive yesterday, that was the 20th of June, for which they have carried out all the necessary coordination for its installation, since the objective is to have all the equipment by July the 12th, when this cardiovascular institute begins to operate. The lack of implementation of a comprehensive plan for waste management in the country led to the number of open-air dumps going from 63 to 80 in about 5 years. In addition, the panorama is completed with a sanitary landfill that is now on our doorsteps. More and more garbage everywhere in the main streets of the capital. The Director of Technical Services of the Urban and Home Cleaning Authority, the AAUD, Alvaro Diaz, acknowledged that there is a serious and difficult situation regarding waste management and that high levels of contamination are occurring in Panama. He added that the current management of solid waste is focused on its collection and disposal, instead of reduction, reuse, recycling or energy use and composting, said Diaz. The AAUD is currently working on the regulation of Law 276 of December 2021, which regulates the comprehensive management of waste in the country. The health crisis that is registered in the capital city with the collection of waste shows the lack of implementation of a comprehensive plan by government to manage the 5,000 tons of waste per day that are generated on average in the country. The problem goes beyond the lack of trucks, since there is a delay of more than 30 years on the comprehensive management of waste, to the point that there are still open-air dumps in the country. In fact, in the last 5 years, instead of decreasing open-air dumps, they have increased in the various provinces of the country. In total, there are now about 80 open-air dumps, when in 2017 there were 63, which causes problems of environmental pollution, public health, and even affects tourist activities in some regions of the country. And coach Thomas Christiansen reiterated that he never had any doubts about continuing to lead the Panamanian senior team, and the goal is set for the 2026 World Cup. The Panamanian Soccer Federation, FEPAFUT, made this Monday, 20th of June, the formal announcement of the continuity of Christiansen as coach of the 11th major. Both myself and my coaching staff wanted to stay here. We have not speculated with offers to increase remuneration in the contract, said Christiansen. The coach reiterated that the soccer and technical quality of Panama is good, but you have to work on that material and invest. If you don't invest, it's very difficult to progress, no matter how much you want and hope that you have. And that's it. There we go. There's our look for this morning. That's some of those things that are in the local news, compiled for you on this morning's Breakfast Show.